PT. I invite Matt Carson up here. As I said last week, this is our last week in our Belong series. And last week we had a wonderful interview with Kate. So we talked about other people belong. You got a stool?
Yeah.
You got a stool. Matt's given plates today. So he's got a bandage on his arm. And thank you. Oh, didn't have to get on for me. Anyway. Last week our series belong, and just off the cuff, next week we're going to start a new series. Matt Carson is heading it up.
Woo!
Yay! Thank you. What's the series?
So it's a 5-week series called Little Books, Big God. There's some very small books in the Bible that are only one chapter long. They're obscure, people very rarely preach on them, and so I'm going to do all 5 in 5 weeks' time. So, who can name a one chapter book in the Bible?
John 3.
Yep, 3 John.
Contents.
Obadiah. Yeah, 2 John and Jude is the other one. So, for 5 weeks we're going to be going through those. Ian, how many times have you preached on Obadiah?
Probably never.
Exactly. So, Ian's coming along to us.
So that's starting next week, and we're really looking forward to that. But firstly, I want to interview on this series in Belonging. And we're wrapping up the series this week, and so this week's we call it Invite to Belong, but also picking up some of the other things that we do think it is an important series. So, Matt Carson, you haven't always come here all your life. When did you start coming, and then how long have you been here for?
Probably... First time I was invited to something here was about 10 years ago, I reckon, but I probably started coming here properly seven years ago, I reckon.
So how did it all come about that you started coming here?
So I went to church when I was younger, until the end of primary school, and then was given the option as to whether I wanted to stay or not, and decided not. And then at the age of 15, actually on my 15th birthday, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, so he had a sucking birthday, I win. A year later, unfortunately, he passed away, and I remember at the time, one of the big things was that my dad was a staunch atheist and then became a Christian about 8 months before he passed away, so that sort of started getting me thinking, well, maybe there is something to this Christian faith, and then moved schools. I went to Yarra Valley Grammar, and somebody who a lot of us know here, Matt Latimer, was going to that school, and he invited me along to an event that was going on here, something called Unplugged, which was sort of like a band event. We used to get bands, local bands, to come and play just outside the youth space, so he invited me along to that, and then maybe a year or so later, he also invited me along to State Youth Games. So State Youth Games is a great way to bring people in, and I love sport. My dad was a PE teacher, so all our home videos are us playing sport. There's a great one, my youngest brother, he broke his arm 7 times by the time he was 13. And he's running around with a hockey stick in one hand and a cast up in the other. No wonder we had so many broken arms. Got invited along, and then got invited along to Definition. Having no idea what it was, I mainly just wanted to be friends with Matt, so I just went along with him. And kept coming along.
So what are some of the main reasons that you did stay and you have been here for all that time?
The people who are here, I feel like I belonged here before I really started learning about who God was and things properly, if you will. So the way that people were interacting with me, I think a good way of making somebody feel like they belong is the way in which you converse with them and the conversations that you have with that person. If you keep the conversation going, if you ask somebody a question and they respond with a question themselves, then you can see that they're actually taking an interest in you. And that was something that I found at this church. The people that I was talking to were genuinely seeming to take an interest in what I was saying, and they were doing that by asking lots of questions. And it was something that I haven't experienced in too many other places, and really made this place stand out.
Now, as we said, we're sort of moving into wrapping the series up and inviting to a long. Now, I know that you've invited a lot of people here, but you've had some good positive responses and negative responses. Can you share one or two of those, or and how it felt like?
Hit rate's not great. But I think we probably can all attest to that at times. Yeah, I've invited people along, and sometimes they'll come along once or twice, and we'll have good chats around that. Invited people along, and got no response. But then I've invited people along, and they have come along. They've really enjoyed it. And a recent one, we invited, last year I did something called Kids Hope Mentoring, which is where you go into a primary school, and you spend some time with the kid who perhaps just needs a bit of one-on-one time. And so I was able to invite him along to our Easter service, and it was really encouraging to, he ran from his house to get here. So that was, I'm like, well, you're keen to, I am to get here. So yeah, just really keen, really good to see that happen. But like I said, I mean, I've had occasions where I've tried to invite people along and feel like I'm sticking my head against the wall, trying to get them down into church and get them along. But I find the events like State Youth Games, the video games night for James Graham the other week, those sort of events, particularly because that's, I guess, part of my story. I started coming along to this church here first off through a social event. So if you do have somebody in your life and you're thinking, oh, I'd love for them to really get involved in this church, I mean, we've got a great opportunity in State Youth Games that's coming up soon. The trivia night is coming up soon and things like that as well. So I'd highly encourage getting them, even just getting them into the building. Church has a bit of a stigma in society that people are a bit scared. They have no idea what goes on in here. One of my mates says, I can't enter a church, I'll burn up as soon as I walk through the door. So even, he's coming to the trivia night. So, so even just, I guess, taking that first step to begin with and just getting into meet people, seeing that we are genuine people. Like, we do love people because we've been loved by Christ first. And we've been given something so we can give that out.
And then it goes back to what we were talking about last week in terms of when someone brings someone, it's not just their responsibility, it's all our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then the whole fact that we all have a role to play in making every single one of us feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, it was just up to Matt, and you said one of the positive things about the awards, the community, and how people were asking questions. So that's an important thing to think about. And so thank you, Matt, for telling us some of your story.
There's that family as well. Like, if, particularly if you've got friends who you tend to transition from high school into uni and then you finish uni and then you move on to three different stages of life. And I know that the strongest friendships that I have, my two best friends are Latimer and Juki. And a lot of that depth comes from the fact that just our time in church together and things like that. So church is a great way to keep that friendship going as well. You'd be surprised how much. Like I said, I came along to church mainly because I wanted to be friends with Matt, I got so much more out of it. So God was able to use my initial reason for coming to church to expand it even greater. So I'll do the same through your lives as well.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing your story there. I love hearing stories of how people work. How Christ works in people, and then how people's experiences, and we do want to be using a bit more of that sort of stuff in the services and the evening. So we tap you on the shoulder, you know, we're in the community to help you with that. If you have got a story you want to share, don't be afraid to do that, because it is such a powerful way, and it is, we've learned from each other so much. So before we get into tonight's last one, we want to open up in time of prayer. Well, let's all pray. Hey God, I'm sorry. Lift up this time to you, dear Lord. So we thank you for the way that you work in different people's lives, the examples that we can learn from. And I thank you for Matt and his story there tonight, dear Lord.
We thank you for Kate and her story last week, and thank you for you giving a story to each one of us. And Lord, as we continue on tonight, we open up the hearts to the music, to the fellowship, to the message. We just dedicate this time to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, most of you know that I love a good prank. I love pranking people. I love people pranking me, as long as it's harmless. We don't want those ones to get, hey, you fall over and you broke an arm or hand. So it's got to be harmless and things like that. So I love it. Back in my old job, there was a time when I was doing youth work in another church, I focused a whole camp on pranks. It was back in the time when Ashton Kutcher had that show called Punked, and I think I even called it Punked. And I was at camp about that, and we did each day or each session had a little bit of a prank to it. And so, you know, the harmless little ones we did was we, you know, put cotton wool in hot sauce and then covered it in chocolate and looked like chocolate truffles. And so we handed them out, and that was okay. I laughed. And some of the other things we did, you know, all the little things like taking Oreo biscuits and scraping the cream out and putting toothpaste and hot sauce in the middle of it, and so it looked like the same. I love hot sauce. I lived in a household with two other guys as well, and we used to always play pranks on each other. But back to the camp anyway. You know, at the dinner table, you put you loosen all the tea and coffee, the sugar, the salt things off there. So hey, dinner goes. We always had enough food for everyone. It was okay. And then we swapped the sugar and the salt at the tea and coffee station and see how many people would react to that. And then we put on the door hinges, we leave the door open and put like fake spiders up there. And so in the middle of the night, and so when I wake up, they see the spider come down. And one that backfired on me, the first night, and I should have done it the second night, the first night we brought these really cheap alarm clocks. And so I put them, like I hid them in each other, in everyone's camp room, and put the alarm on for different times in the morning. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, you know, you hear the alarm go off and, hey, who's alarmed this and that kind of stuff there. And I said it backfired on me because I did it on the first night. The second night, I had a room to myself. 7 groups of people put a different alarm clock in my room at different times of the night. And so I learned quickly that if I was going to do that one again, I would make sure that I would do it on the second night. They wouldn't have to do it. And so we did tie themes into it. Like we did tie Christianity into it in terms of like pranks on one person's expense, and Christianity is for everyone's expense, and we did have other messages. Well, it was those little links in there, you know, how prank is for gaining one person's enjoyment, Christianity is for everyone, and, you know, all this other little thing there, but the really reason why I wanted to do it is to play pranks on a great number of people. Let me just say I didn't do it that camp again. I chose different topics. And I still love it now. I still, like, even at Easter time, now I've got kids, I can play pranks on my kids. That's really good. At Easter time, you get those little chocolate eggs, and I ate all the chocolates and put grapes inside them. And that didn't work out too well because my 7-year-old got one and threw it at the window, and I had to clean up the mess, where my 3-year-old kicked a tantrum because he didn't get chocolate. Like I did give him Easter eggs as well. It's okay. But see, as I said, I love this sort of stuff. I love pranking. And as I said, if it happens to me, I'm okay with it. I can see the funny side of it. And I've had lots of pranks done on me as well. Now I'm getting older. I'm getting a bit more crankier. So I don't know. I have to test the levels of it. But what's the key to a good prank? What do you think the key to a good prank is? It's one of the good things is that you have to influence over the other person. The other person has to be trustworthy. So if I came up to Tim and just said, open packet of Tim Tams and then with the chocolate taken off it, he would be a bit suspicious. And if a stranger did that to you, you'd even be more suspicious. But if I came up to you and said, hey, look, I'm just eating this Oreo, and my one's okay, so I'm eating the Oreo, and Tim sees that I'm eating it and I'm enjoying it, Tim would go for it as well. And because he trusts me, I have that influence to say, look, Chris is a pretty trustworthy person. Well, now, not that trustworthy now that I've said all these, I like enjoying pranks, but Chris is a pretty trustworthy person. I know this much, so I'm going to trust him. And so pranking is almost like having influence over the other person. And so influence is a funny thing. It can be used for positive, and it can be used for negative as well. Most of the time we see it used for positive. But it can have that negative effect as well. Like we all hear peer pressure and all that sort of stuff. And you know, it does have an influence. It does have an effect in people's lives. And so I want to think about today, explore how we use our influence and how we use that. Now, I'm going to show a video here of a Coca-Cola ad that was, I don't know what country it's from, but you'll get to see when I pick it. So,
no promises.
No promises. Ha 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 ha! Now, it is a weird advert, and I'm not too sure if I saw someone on the train doing that, how I'd respond.
Cameras
somewhere in there. But it just shows how we can influence people. And it showed this one was a short little experiment on an influence. And I'm not too sure. We did another sort of thing for year 12 psychology. I went on an excursion to the city last year, and you get a bunch of people and you just stare at the sky and you see people walk past and think, what are they looking at? It's funny, if you should actually do that, it's funny how we can have influence over strangers and people we very rarely know, let alone the people that we know and have friends with. We are people that we influence. Now, as I've said, I harp on about this stuff all the time because it is one of my pet things that we are peoples of influence, that we just don't comprehend how much influence we have in different people's lives, from strangers who we just meet, who we convince that this is a good chocolate biscuit or whatever, or we point to the sky to our friends that we've known for a long time and they might want to do something just because we're doing it, and how Matt was invited along because Matt invited him. Matt, it's kind of interesting, but it was the way that it happened. And so one person's infectious laughter there caused everyone else to belong, or to laugh, and to be part of it. So what has this got to do with belonging? See, last week we talked about how much of an important role we all have in making people feel like they belong. So you have the influence in other people's lives, whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, uni, work. You have the influence in their life to help them feel that they belong. Whether they're your best friend or you've seen them for the first time, you have that influence within a situation to make people feel that they belong. You can be that contact person to people. Now, I said when I opened up this topic that sociologists have called Western culture a nation of strangers. And studies show that 4 out of 10 people are feeling intense loneliness. And so Western culture produces TV shows where people can feel more at home with a character on TV than they do with people in real life. And so Hollywood's doing that on purpose. They're picking out different characteristics of different people so you can prolong what you see in them and have a reality in them. And so we are more in tune with what happens on TV than with our neighbours. We're more in tune with a local character than we are with a person sitting across from us at uni. That's the culture of what we have brought up today. And so that's the culture we're living in, where people are longing for belonging, but we're living in this culture where we're not sharing it. Where we're not inviting people. We're not talking about belonging that much. We're expecting belonging to happen by itself. And so we are fortunate that we are belonging in a church where we have a sense of belonging, where we try to work on this sort of thing. But even in churches, we show cracks. We show different people that they don't belong. So how are we supposed to invite people to a place like this? And I'll talk about that in a second, but I want to look at your life as well. I want to look at your life outside of here. A Christian preacher talked about Mark Ashton once said that once a person has been going to church for 5 years, 90% of their friends are Christians. Or 90% of their friends are Christians, which means that you're fairly insular once you've been coming to a church for a long time. Now, you might have your uni friends, you might have your work friends, but your close friends are all involved in the church. And so, we want you to look at that extra 10%, that 15%, to say, okay, where are my other friends? As we just said, we are a nation that wants to belong, but what are our other friends? Do they feel like they belong somewhere? Can we invite them along here? What about our 90% of friends that are here? Do they feel that they belong? Have we been inviting them along to different things? See, there's a number of different reasons why people haven't stepped foot in the church. It could be they've had bad experiences with their own church, they don't want to go back there, or other experiences. What are we doing for that? See, sometimes we have to invite people back into the family of God. We have to invite people back to belong into this family. Whether they've been missing for a week, whether they've been missing for 2 weeks, whether they haven't even been here before, we are the ones sometimes that have to invite to belong. See, last week we shared about how the family of God is like a jigsaw puzzle. And that when one piece is missing, the puzzle is incomplete. And so sometimes we have to help to make people feel like they belong. And make people feel like they are that important piece in the jigsaw puzzle. I want to share this great story from John. In the opening chapters of John, when Jesus is gathering his disciples around, it's taken from John chapter 1, 35 to 42, and hopefully it's up there. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, saw them following. He said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went there and saw where he was staying. And they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ," and brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you are called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. See, this is a great story, which we don't often talk about that much. It's a great story in the early part of the Gospel of John. Firstly, look at what Jesus does. So Jesus is walking along. They see Jesus there. And John says, "This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah." And they start following him. And Jesus says, what are you doing? And he said, "Well, you're the Messiah." And so Jesus says, "Come, spend some time with me. Follow me. Let's hang out." So very first off, Jesus had this environment and set up this thing to say, okay, you're welcome. You're here with me. You can walk alongside with me. You can spend the afternoon, spend some time with me. And so Jesus had a really positive influence on their lives. He must have, because the next thing we hear is Andrew, one of the guys that was following Jesus, says, "As soon as that happens, I'm going to tell my brother. I'm going to go home, I'm going to race home and tell my brother what I've just done. No, wait, I'm not going to tell my brother, I'm going to invite him along. And then, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to invite him along and bring him along with me." So again, Jesus, the person that welcomes all and makes people feel belong, has gone above and beyond to make Andrew feel like he's welcome. And so Andrew wants to invite his brother along to it. So Andrew brings his brother, and again, here's a story that, hey, I reckon the early church would have started this way. People bringing their friends along, bringing their family members. Not just saying, "Hey, church is on," but they're saying, "Hey, church is on and come with me. I'm going to take you. I'm going to pick you up in my chariot or horse or donkey, whatever they had back then. We're going to go." And so I have a picture of how the church started back then. And so how often do we think about inviting our friends to church? Or how often do we think about even inviting the people that used to come along to church back to church? How often do we think about that? For some of us, we get comfortable in our own community that we don't think about it. We're happy the way things are, and we're happy in our own little pockets, and we don't really invite other people along. See, we have to understand we are not the only reason that people turn to God. Our community helps that along. God is that person that brings them to God. But we first have to bring them along. We have to first have to help them along to it. See, God does all that we do. Have you ever thought that what you do can bring people closer or further away from God? See, we all have influence. As I said before, we all have influence. And so whether we invite people belong, and when people come, how we feel, make them welcome, shares with them how they feel about God. We have an influence over that. If we say we're a Christian, if we say we believe Jesus and follow Jesus, and we be nasty to someone, what sort of picture does that share or show of God? If we invite someone along and they come along, and we just hang out with all our friends and leave them, what sort of picture does that show of God? See, as I said, we have a lot of influence to do. If someone brings their friend along and all we do is speak to our friend here, what sort of picture does that show of God? See, without knowing it, we have influence in people's lives. So how do we change this? What do we do? Firstly, one of the things we have to do is we have to think how Jesus would act in the situation. And this doesn't mean we have to preach about God. We just have to be the person that we think Jesus wants us to be. Inviting to people, welcoming to people, and sharing with people. See, as I probably said, you're mostly doing all this already, but we have to be sometimes conscious about what we do and conscious about how we do it. See, yes, I can say that God loves me, but actually showing someone can often mean a lot more to them than actually just saying it. So we have to be people of actions rather than words. And so sometimes we have to focus on working on this ourselves and saying, okay, how do I make people belong? Let's be Christ in our lives. Do I invite people along? Do I get people to follow me to places? Do I share God with them? Do I show God to them by the way I act? See, Carso touched on it before, invitations. And when we invite people, we sometimes get knockbacks. And we invite some of our old friends to come along to something, we get knockbacks as well. It says, there's a statistic out there that sometimes takes 6 to 8 invitations before a person that doesn't go to church or a church event wants to come along to a church. So that one time that you get a good response, you might get 6 or 7, 8 that you won't get a good response. But that doesn't mean we should stop. See, we should just keep praying about it and praying who God lays on our heart and we want to invite along to it. And it might not be coming along to church. As Carso said, we've got state youth games, we've got trivia night, we've got games nights, we've got all sorts of stuff you can be inviting along to. And then it is inviting them to be part of this community. And then when you do it, hopefully you're not going to be on your own. Because you invite them along and other people will say hello and start that conversation and think, oh, when I met Jacob, he was a good bloke. When I met Hugh, he was this and that sort of stuff there. And so but it starts to form those little friendships and bonds and that sort of stuff. So when we all have a role to play in making people feel like they belong. See, sometimes we just leave it up to one person. They go, I have to invite my friend. But we shouldn't think of that. Think, I'm going to invite my friend into a community and hopefully they're going to do some stuff as well. So we sometimes think when we're inviting our friends, we have to do it all ourselves. But we don't. Because we've got this community that should and does do this really well. See, but when we bring them along, the job just doesn't end there. The job is not just there. We bring them along and that's it. That's right. I brought my friend along and then he's part of the community and that's it. Now, sometimes we have done in the past and we've heard people tell stories about this, but sometimes I feel welcomed for the first couple of weeks, but then I don't feel welcomed after that. So we've got a role to play that we have to keep everyone feel welcome. And you know in your own life that sometimes you have really good moments and sometimes you have really negative moments and really down moments. And that's when down moments, you don't want to show people that you're having a bad time. But those are the times where you want to hang out with people. And you want to be there. So when we are feeling good, when we are feeling pretty good, we have to be thinking about how we make people feel like they belong. See, we started off by saying how important you are to God, how important you should be thinking about ourselves are to God. And we do, we are belonging to God. We are a jigsaw piece just as much as anyone else. So God loves us and wants us to be part of it. But then we have to move on from that thing, okay, God thinks that about me, he thinks that about the person next to me as well. And not only that, the person next to me inside the church, but the person next to me outside the church as well, my friends from school or uni or work. God thinks about that as well. And to finish up, as I've been sharing part of my story and my journey along here, the reason why I got involved in a church in the first place when I had a burgeoning soccer career was that someone kept on inviting me. And so when I hit one of those low moments in my life, well, I didn't know what to do and I had an injury and I didn't know what to do with church. I didn't know what to do with school. I didn't know what to do with uni. I didn't know uni. I wasn't at uni then. I was thinking about uni because it was year 12, but I didn't know what to do with soccer. The people that was in my life at that time were the church people inviting me along to things. The soccer people were just saying, okay, when you get back, we'll talk about it when you get back. When you're better, okay, we'll have those meetings and stuff like that. But the church people were there saying, okay, no, we miss you. Come along to this. No, you can't come. It's okay. Still, you're still part of it. Just come along when you can. And so that was a turning point in my own life where I had a community back there when I was searching, when I was feeling low, that loved me in community and made me feel like I did belong. There's all times in our own lives where we know how it feels like to belong somewhere. And there's always been times in our lives when we have felt we didn't belong somewhere. You guys and all of us are key influence in people's lives. We've got a responsibility from God to help people feel like they belong. Let us close in prayer. Hey God, we just want to thank you first that you died on the cross for us. That when we have those moments within ourselves, when we feel like we're not worthy, or we feel like we're a bit odd, that you died on that cross for me and for us. And Lord, when we think about inviting other people in and how other people sitting next to us, that they are just as an important piece of the puzzle of your family of God as we are. Lord, help us to realize the responsibility that we have within that, to making people feel welcome, to put ourselves sometimes second and other people in front of us. Lord, put in our hearts and our minds the people that you think we should tap on the shoulder and invite them along somewhere, invite them to belong, whether it's here, whether it's another church event, whether it's back into the family. And Lord, let us be on the lookout for people so we can make them feel like they do belong here, that they are part of your family, like you make us feel like we belong. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.